Welcome to the LZ Sports Show. I am Mark Adam, your host. I am joined today by my usual partner in crime, who was not here with me on Tuesday, but this is Mr. Keith McKnight joining me all the way from his home. And I do see something going a little bit off, so we'll fix that in the meantime. But how are you doing, Mr. Keith McKnight?
I'm doing very well, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I am very happy to be here. And our background shot was causing a little bit of trouble, so I figured I would go in there and just sort of fix that while we were hanging out. Does that make any sense? Are we good now?
I think so. Everything seems good on my end. I know you're the technical director.
Well, so. Yeah, I get to wear a lot of hats on this show, even the literal hat that is on my head. For just one more, why not? I don't know. That's lame jokes first thing in the morning. First thing in the morning is a little rough. And, you know, it's 11 o'clock, I know. So shut up, everybody. I get it. But we do have this really cool feature. It is a chat box. So I'm going to make Keith disappear while I show off this void over here. You can fill with your thoughts by chatting along. We are testing out today the Facebook and Twitch feeds. So if you're not a YouTube person, if you prefer watching things live on Facebook, it is now available on the WPG Magazine's Facebook page, as well as there is a Twitch channel. So if you go to twitch.tv/ the WPG Magazine, this should be playing through that as well. So that's kind of fun. Oh, I didn't make him go away, did I? Oh, there it is. That's the void you can fill right there. Check that out. In the meantime, we are going to be talking about the... last night there was some things going on that were a little out there, and we're going to get Mr. Keith McKnight's opinions on some of those things. Who played well, who didn't, all of that. So why don't we leave this void here for you, and you can fill it up while we go to commercial. We'll be back in 30 seconds after a word from our sponsor. Okay? So what button do I push to do that? This one.
Make your house a better place to come home to with Aquatech Pool, Spa, and Bath. We've been delivering complete customer satisfaction for over 40 years. Whether it's a fully completed backyard escape, a completely renovated bathroom, or a premium upgrade on outdoor furniture, Aquatech is the only name you need to know. That's because if it's an Aquatech job, it's an Aquatech team working on it. No outsourcing, no subcontractors. We do it all. Visit our one-of-a-kind showroom today at 1065 Dougald Road. Aquatech Pool, Spa, and Bath. We create better places to come home to.
Thank you very much to our sponsor, Aquatech Pool, Spa, and Bath. We greatly appreciate them. Mr. McKnight, let's dive right into it. Before we get... they lost the game. It was a 3-1 loss. Really 2-1... Yeah, 2-1 and an empty netter. Sorry, my brain had to process that for a second. I don't know why I'm so logy today. I should drink some more tea. But before we get into, you know, the negatives and what they did better than last time and blah, 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 and dissecting the game a little bit, let's talk about the player you thought played the best in last night's game, Mr. Keith McKnight. Let's start with you.
I'm going to go right ahead and jump right into it with Blake Wheeler, based upon the fact that, you know, he was coming off these undisclosed injuries and not being a 100%, and, you know, he was still managing to really have a good game yesterday. So I'm going to go with the captain, Blake Wheeler. I know that he was the only one that scored, but I just felt that he was trying yesterday to really bring out the best in this team after such a massive loss, and they were really trying to keep themselves together because clearly there's something going on in the Winnipeg Jets locker room. Something that it's a little bit incomprehensible right now. So I think Blake Wheeler deserves the tip of the hat for last night's player, Jet of the Night for me.
That's fair. I really liked his play as well. Gritty. I thought the high sticking penalty, how that ended up 4 minutes. He was confused as to how that caused four minutes worth of damage. You know, cost them the double minor, or what have you. But that was a little odd. But for me, the guy that stood out was Andrew Kopp. I thought he was all over the ice. And he was the guy that did all the things right. He was battling in front of the net, smashing at rebounds. He was behind the net, feeding out front, trying to get his teammates the puck. And at one point, he fed Scheifele so beautifully. And I'm not sure. Interesting. Kerry Bukowski joining us from Facebook, saying the YouTube stream may not be up. On my end, it looks perfect. So I will have a quick look at that. See if I can't check that out. But yeah, and in the meantime, I'll keep talking about Andrew Kopp because he was, I thought, phenomenal in last night's game. And Mason Appleton has been playing really, really well, but he just can't score. He's just snake bit. It's a little odd, to be honest. So I'm not sure what's going on there with him. Yeah, this YouTube's not loading. I'm not really sure what's going on with that. I will keep looking into that. But we are recording, so if it doesn't end up on the YouTube feed at 11 o'clock, then if it's not playing live, I'll make sure I'll get it up. Oh, it's working for him now. There you go. Now we've got comments from Mr. Bilkowski on both sides of the chat box. And that's a fun thing that's going on. So I'm glad that that's working. I'm just going to close that window now that that's up because I don't want to kill my bandwidth going streaming and pulling and da-da-da-da-da. Sorry, guys. It's cool because we're testing out two new streaming platforms today. Again, Facebook, Twitch, very cool. But in the meantime, I'm just going to fix Mr. Keith McKnight's camera since he seems to have decided to go shrinky-dink on us. I don't know what happened there, but now it should be fixed. I'm going to jump to the double shot just to be sure that it worked, and it did. There we go. Okay, technical issues aside with our stuff, Matt Peitsch from Nova Scotia says, greetings. I'm just going to throw up the chat in the middle here just so you can see it. Hi, all the way in Nova Scotia, Mr. Matt Peitsch.
You're from Nova Scotia.
That's true. That's a friend of mine from Nova Scotia.
Peitsch.
So yeah, there's that. So let's just delve deeper in here. The Jets last night didn't pull off the victory. But there was a lot of positives, especially when you contrast last night's 3-1 loss to the 6-1 loss they faced the other day, which they just absolutely looked lost in. I thought there was a lot of positives for the Jets. What was one thing you noticed that they did better than they normally do in last night's game? Better than they did against the Oilers the last time around?
Last time around? Oh, yesterday. I think that they contained them a little bit more as best as they could. They didn't really let them get off to that much of an aggressive start with like a high octane offense. You know what I mean? Because for the Edmonton Oilers to only manage to score 3 goals, you had to credit the Jets for, you know, because you said it was one of those, was basically like a 2-1 game. So to rebound like that and to hold them down that way, I think we have to, you know, point out the fact that the Jets showed up a little bit more tight on the defensive side this game around.
Yeah, I thought so too. And to be honest, I thought Hellebuck looked awesome. I think the way he played was the Vezina Trophy winner that we saw for most of this season, and not the Connor Hellebuck that looked shook in the last 4 or 5 games that we watched him play. So I thought that was pretty good. Let's actually have a quick chat about the statistics. So I sent those to you, sir, but I'll throw them up on the screen here for those that are watching live. For those listening to the audio podcast version of this, which now exists, I will point out that it was a 3-1 win for the Edmonton Oilers. The shots were 30-27 in favor of the Jets, so they outshot the Oilers. Again, the Jets winning in the faceoff circle, 54%-46%, and I still can't figure out why when they win in the faceoff circle, it is more likely that they lose the game. I don't understand the correlation there. It doesn't make sense to me, but that's just a thing. 0-for-1 on the power play were the Jets. They only had one opportunity. 3 opportunities on the power play for the Oilers. The 6 minutes in penalties taken by Captain Blake Wheeler, as well as scoring the goal. Wheeler was all over the place last night. So 6 penalty minutes to 2 for the Jets. big dirty Wheeler. I thought, you know, the knee, that like the tripping call was soft. He went to hit him and the guy sort of ducked out of the way. That sort of happens. I didn't think it was knee on knee. I think it was just a missed check and the guy was lucky to get missed. So I don't know, that penalty was a little soft for me. And the high stick, yeah, absolutely. Got him in the face. That's 2 minutes. I don't know how that caused that much damage given how lightly it tapped him. But sometimes you just hit a guy the right way. The tape on your stick is just abrasive enough to open up a wound and boom, 4 minutes. So there you go. 38 hits to 24 for the Jets. They were all over the Oilers last night, which was really nice to see. And we're going to get into how they were all over them and what that should look like going forward. The score sheet, Blake Wheeler obviously getting the goal from Andrew Kopp. So Kopp with the assist. That was the only assist on the goal. So two people on the Jets on the scoreboard, where five of the Oilers managed to get their names on the scoreboard. Nugent, Hopkins, and Barry each having a goal and an assist. Draisaitl with a goal. McDavid with the hat trick of assists. Just three assists for him. Thank you for liking the stream, Mr. Peitsch. Appreciate that. Darnell Nurse, got an assist on the day as well. And you see there, Koskinen, 29 for 30. I thought he played very well. You know, he was kind of the starter at the start of the year. He's definitely the backup to Mike Smith now. But as you can see, he's no joke. I would say that's a good position for the Oilers to be in. A tough spot for the Jets to be in, facing two very good goaltenders, given that this is a likely preview of round one of the playoffs. The Jets play their next game on the 30th, so that'll be Friday, tomorrow, in Montreal, where the Oilers will head home to face Calgary in the Battle of Alberta tonight, as a matter of fact. So a back-to-back for them. That should hopefully tire them out a little bit. If you're the Jets, you're hoping for every little bit of advantage you can get. So that's sort of where we're at right now. So What do you think of the stats? I mean, obvious improvement over the previous game. Do you think that this is the start of them moving forward, or do you think the loss is going to set them back?
I think this loss is going to set the Winnipeg Jets back a lot. You have to look at that record. They're 27-19-3, and we have 7 or 8 games left to go, I believe it is now, right, Mark? That 19 is only getting closer to 27. And with 8 more games left, it's crunch time for this team. And I don't think that they rebounded. Even though they rebounded well enough to contain this Edmonton team to 3 goals, I don't think they rebounded enough to have momentum come back on their side and head into the next game against Montreal with a lot of confidence. So I think this sets them back. And that's just the reality of it.
I don't know. I'm going to go ahead and disagree with you. I appreciate where you stand on that, but I think that they're going to look at the positives here. They have to. The negatives are evident. Everybody in the media has already pointed out, here's all the negatives, but they want to take those positives away from this game and build on that. 6-1 to 3-1, controlling Connor McDavid a lot better. I mean, 3 assists, still a 3-point night for the guy, but to be honest, he has scored more than two or more points. I'll get that straight. McDavid has scored 2 or more points in every single game against the Jets this season. Absolute nightmare to defend. So, Kerry Bilkowski even tripping in, last night the defense was much stronger, but our transition game still stunk. And I agree, getting out and getting forward on them was not as smooth as we've definitely seen it this season. So I think there's a lot of improvement still to be made, but I think that they're going to make it. I think that the game last night showed that they're willing to tighten up certain things. They're willing to adjust on the fly. And you have to remember, too, Adam Lowry and Nikolaj Ehlers are both out of this lineup right now. Lowry, by the way, skating with the team, but we'll get to that in a bit. But I really think that the Jets are going to take this positive and they're going to move forward. I think they have to. There's no option for them at this point. So this is sort of where we're at. Let's get into some of the sort of stories of the game. I thought, and we haven't really talked about officiating on this show since we started, really. But I thought last night was a particularly lopsided refereeing outing than normal against the Jets. Usually, you know, there's some bad calls, but it usually goes both ways. It's a little bit of back and forth and all that. But I just thought, you know, the soft calls against the Jets that put Wheeler in the box, some blatant missed calls. For example, when Wheeler went around the net and got absolutely like flung upside down, no, right in front of the referee, no call. I don't know. It was rough for me. Kerry Bilkowski says first call was weak, second one was bad discipline. I agree. I don't know how it did that much damage to cause a 4-minute double minor, but you know, it is what it is. And I agree with you that Helly got his confidence back. That's something I mentioned. I agree. Thank you for the comments there. If you have thoughts, throw those in the chat box, whether you're on Facebook, Twitch, or YouTube. I think those, all the comments will pop up through our beautiful chat box here. So I feel like Vanna White every time I do that. Just,
yes.
Would you like to buy a vowel? Anyway, it's whatever. But did you notice any, am I crazy to pick out the referees on last night's game? Because I thought they definitely weren't a factor in the game before. So
yeah, especially with like when you have superstar status like Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, it's almost like has like the LeBron James effect. I had this theory that even if you like breathe on LeBron James, it's a foul. And like, I'm a LeBron fan, but like that's just the way that it works. Like there's just that star power, there's just that presence there. And I feel like with Connor McDavid, you know, leading the way with the Edmonton Oilers, it just leaves a certain stigma with the refs. It leaves a certain type of mentality in the back of their head. They're like, oh, this team, you know, we might have to give them a call or two more. And you know, with the Jets being a little bit on a losing slump, I can see where you're coming from with that. I'm not going to say that I sat down and I noticed it very much, but now that you have brought this up to me, that the officiating was definitely a problem that you noticed, it wouldn't cease to surprise me that that was definitely a factor and there was somebody playing favorites out there yesterday with the team that, you know, has that type of star power, right?
Yeah, it was just... Normally, I don't notice the referees, or when you do notice them, you're like, oh, man, they're really, like, they messed that one up, but it's kind of both ways. It just seemed to be a little bit, the ice was a little tilted against the Jets last night, and that's not normal for me to notice. So, I don't know. It was just a thing. But so shorter shifts last night, that was a big factor, I thought. You know, last game it was a huge issue. You had guys over a minute and a half often, and some over 2 minutes a whole bunch of times. And when you have tired legs out there, you can't catch up to a guy like McDavid at the best of times. But when you're tired, it's, you know, you're going to be six strides behind instead of three. So I thought last night they tightened that up a lot. There were a couple of times some of the defensemen got sort of stuck out there for a couple of minutes, but nobody was out there just taking a skate. And I thought that was important to note as well. Was that something you noticed, or is that something that we don't care about?
No, I definitely think it's something that stood out to me as well. No, don't say, I can't sweep that under the rug one bit.
Why is Pullman the guy against McDavid? And we're going to tie in Kerry Bukowski's comment here. He just said, looks like the Jets were pulling their checks against McDavid. Would love to see a bit more of a mean streak. And, yeah, you want to see a little more grit in the game, especially with the playoffs looming. You want to see them getting into that sort of mentality and getting ready for the grueling nature of a 7-game series. But my question is, why is Pullman the guy they've got matched up against McDavid? He's proven over and over again he cannot mark McDavid. And somebody who had success earlier on this season against McDavid was Neil Pionk. But he doesn't seem to be getting that matchup against McDavid. And maybe that was Ottawa trying to avoid him with McDavid. But it seemed to me like it was a conscious effort by Maurice to put the top defensive pairing in Morrissey and Pullman against McDavid, and I just think that's not the right way to do it. I just don't think that those two guys match up well. Skills being skills, I think, and now that I look back at the 6-1 loss and how I said Pullman played so poorly, I mean, he's made some poor decisions and whatnot, but I think he's been put in a really tough position when I look at it again. And I think he had a much better game last night overall. I thought, you know, still a couple of issues, but when you're playing against Connor McDavid, those are going to happen. Every single time Connor McDavid, you see Connor McDavid doing something, the guy in the background of that shot is Tucker Poolman chasing him. And it was, it's, I don't know. I just want to see a better effort from the defensive core against McDavid. And I don't think Pullman's the guy. You know, no offense to Poolman. He, like I said on the last episode, he's played quite well. He's had a couple of poor games in the last handful, but which Jet hasn't at this point. 5-game losing streak for the first time this season. Up into this losing streak, they hadn't lost 3 games back-to-back, let alone 5. So now, do we think it's time to panic? Probably not, but that's sort of a thing that needs to be watched. What are your thoughts on Poolman versus McDavid, or who do you think should be the guy against McDavid out there on the ice?
That's a tough decision. Yeah, definitely not Tucker Poolman, and he's taking a lot of flake right now as well. You know, I was listening to a report about the game yesterday as well, saying that, you know, they were really pinpointing him. He was under a microscope yesterday, and against Connor McDavid, I mean, it's just going to be really tough. I mean, who do you put against him? Like, you're going to have to help me figure it out, because I'm not saying that he can just beat anybody in the league. It's just, there's just, like, which he can. I'm just saying that when we're talking about the Winnipeg Jets, it's really tough here to, I don't know, you almost, like, even though Adam Lowry's a centerman, it's almost like Adam Lowry's presence is starting to be felt, his being gone now is starting to be felt. So, I don't know, like, can Logan Stanley do the job?
Well, yeah, that's another question we can talk about real quick is Ben was in instead of Stanley, and I think Ben actually, I thought he had a pretty decent game last night. I didn't have any like, oh, what are you doing moments with Ben. So I feel like that was a definite positive. So Who knows, you know, that I think we've got that, I don't know. We've got a lot of good defensemen. It's which ones do you need to play to get the absolute best out of all three pairings of your D? And I don't know. You know who had a decent game last night that I don't normally say had a decent game was Dylan DeMello.
Yes, I know that you. Yeah. I know. I'm not saying that you play to be super negative about him, but you know he does really cause a bottleneck sometimes with this team. So I'm glad that you could see that he got a lot of positive factors last night. Why don't you let us know what those were,
well,
please?
He was just smart at the blue line. He was making good, smart passes. He didn't try too hard. He wasn't ever out of position like he normally gets caught. He sort of stayed at home a little more. And I thought it was just a better game for him overall. And normally, when I'm talking about him, I'm not saying he was a terrible defenseman, because we have a lot of really good defensemen. I'm just saying that if you're going to pull a guy, it should probably be DeMello. Right, not Logan Stanley, who has been having such positive effect on this roster right now. So I say let's maybe, you know, talk about who really should be pulled. I would love to see Logan Stanley back in. That booming shot from the point would really help. We don't really have a guy that can bomb shots. I was talking to Neutral Zoner, a friend of the show, last night, and he was pointing out, you know, that Neil Pionk and Josh Morrissey, they just don't have those big shots from the point. They need to get better at those. And I think that a guy like Logan Stanley, who can really let him rip, would give people pause about standing and blocking shots, you know? So we got to do something. And I'm not really sure what that something is, but something's got to give on the defensive side. We got to get Logan Stanley back in the lineup. I think Jordy Benn, if he's the guy that's got to take the hit, he's got to take the hit. He was kind of invisible last night, which can be a good thing as a defenseman when you're not making mistakes and not making yourself stand out. Absolutely, that can be a good thing, toeing the line and doing what's needed. Sometimes that's what you got to do, and not getting noticed is good. It's kind of like an editor in video. When you don't notice the edits and the cuts and all that, that means that editor is doing their job. When they do their job, you don't notice, and that's kind of the point. So when Jordy Benn is not getting sort of, you know, called out, that's a good thing. So I don't know. It's tough to say what the defensive side of the game should really look like, but they have to do something to figure out McDavid. They don't have another opportunity this season to figure that out. They do not play the Oilers again until the playoffs. And we say until the playoffs, but it's very, very likely, the way that things are sort of moving, that the Jets are going to end up playing the Oilers in the first round of the playoffs, whether we're third and they're second or vice versa. That said, they've got, what, 3 points on us now and a couple games in hand. So it's going to be a bit of a chase. Before we get into the looking at the playoff picture, though, do you think Scheifele's hurt?
No, I was talking.
Okay, go ahead.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there. I was talking with one of the friends of the show as well, Mr. Alvin Garton, and we both think that there's something going on there. Like, there was something said to Mark Scheifele, or there must have been a disagreement or some sort of headbutt, if that's what you want to call it, between Mark Scheifele and somebody maybe in management or somebody in the coaching staff. I really think, like, where does Mark Scheifele just all of a sudden decide he wants to turn it off? This is so out of character for him. I think there's something personal going on right now. And I'm not saying that, you know, he's just tanking it himself, but it's just whatever must have happened has had a tremendous effect on this kid. And I'm wondering if it's like, I really think something must have happened with him and a teammate or somebody on the coaching staff or management, because this, like I said, it's out of character for Scheifele to play the way that he's playing right now. No, and I don't think he's hurt, because if he was hurt, he would have came out and said it already. He's not that type of player. He doesn't hide anything from, he says that he just, you know, he loves hockey. Just anytime he has a hockey stick in his hand, you know, life's just that much better for him. And I was just like, all right, Mark, so, like, what's going on here? So I think we need to dig a little bit deeper.
That's fair. And I don't know what's going on with him, because the last three games he's been absolutely off his game from getting benched that one night. And, you know, that was Paul Maurice absolutely losing his cool, which I appreciate, because you got to get your guys fired up. And if it takes yelling at them, I mean, it takes yelling at them. That's, you know, you coast all year and you run into a little bit of adversity and all of a sudden you just shut down. I don't buy it. That is never how Scheifele's been. As you said, it's out of character for him. I would think he's got some sort of nagging little injury that won't let him play at 100%, but it's not bad enough, or resting him isn't going to change it. It must have been the decision, because I really think Janelle, welcome to the stream. Thank you for liking. I appreciate that. Do, by the way, if you are watching, like and subscribe. We greatly appreciate that. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and the YouTubes. So whether you're watching today on YouTube, Facebook Live, or Twitch TV, we greatly appreciate you joining us. And yeah, so thanks a lot. Liking and subscribing go a very long way. If you subscribe to this channel on YouTube, it actually opens up tools we can use. I don't know if people know that about YouTube, but like, once you hit a certain number of subscribers, you can actually do more with your channel than you could before. So every time you get another subscriber, it's a step in that right direction, and we greatly appreciate everybody who does like and subscribe and all of that. So sorry for that little aside, but just to finish up with Scheifele, I don't think he's 100%. I just don't. I don't think that he would ever be the guy that puts a lazy effort in. I think he's doing what he can to overcome something. And whether that's mental or, as you said, something personal between him and a coach or a teammate or something, or if it's a physical injury, I really, really hope that that is out of his system by the time the playoffs run round. So, Kerry Bukowski chimed in. I don't know. Chiped in? What is that? So he chimes in. I think Scheifele is trying to do too much. And maybe he is. Maybe he's trying to be too much with Wheeler going down. And now Lowry's out of the lineup and Ehlers is out of the lineup. Is Scheifele just overextending himself? Is he just trying too hard? Is he getting discouraged because he's trying to do too much and it's not going well. I don't know. What is your theory on Shifley? We want to hear from you. Give us a call or you can send us an email. Hit us up on the WPG Sports Line, 431-800-4555. Leave us a voicemail. We will use those messages on future episodes to sort of drive home points, but we want to hear from you, whether you throw that in the live chat, whether you throw it in the comment section if you're watching this after we're live, if you throw it on Facebook, if you throw it on the website, the WPG.ca, where we post all these. By the way, we live at the WPG.ca/sports. That's where you can find the LZ Sports Show and other sports information. Mr. Keith McKnight over there, he writes some previews for the Jets series and lets you know sort of what to watch for in each of the series. So go ahead and let us know what you think, no matter where you send us that information. We want to hear from you. Is Shifley trying to do too much? That's a huge question. And let's get to the question that we asked on the last episode, shall we? Because I asked, should Hellebuck take a break? Should they rest Hellebuck for a handful of games and let Laurent Brossoit take the wheel for a little bit and just sort of take some pressure off Helly, let him shake it off, let him get right, and then be rested for the playoffs and be ready to go. And Carrie Bilkowski, who is chatting with us today, also was with me the other day and mentioned that he thought he doesn't need a rest, he just needs better defense in front of him. So that was a pretty decent point. I'm leaning towards maybe they should rest him. And even, you know, after last night's turnaround, which I think he played really, really well, I think giving him a couple days off, a couple games off, will really help him. It'll help Laurent Brossoit and the team, because when you go into the playoffs, if you have a backup that's actually played a little bit and has a little more confidence because you've given it to him, I think that really helps the confidence of the guy in front, aka Connor Hellebuck in this case. And I think that that'll give Connor Hellebuck the chance to just go back and sort of work through all his stuff and be ready to go when the playoffs hit. I'm not saying sit him for the rest of the season. I'm saying give him 2, 3, 4 games off, whatever. There's I forget the number of games we have left. I'm just going to poke at this screen here. We've played 49, so there are 7 games left in this season for the Jets to get through. And I don't know. I think sitting him for 3 games, if there's 7 games left, sit him for 3 of those. Let Brossoit have some play and make sure that he's ready to go for the playoffs too, because you may need him. You hope you don't, but you may need him at some point, and you want him to be just as hot as Hellebuck. And Brossoit has been a great backup this year. We're very lucky to have the goaltending combo we have. But I don't know. What are your thoughts on that, Mr. McKnight?
I agree. There was Mr. Bob Salins yesterday, who was also, I call him coach. He's the sort of facility operations manager at Jonathan Toews Community Center. Also coached Jonathan Toews growing up. Yesterday, he was giving me some pointers about my stick handling. You know, he's trying to get me to the top, so I have to listen to him, right? I mean, if you got Jonathan there, I mean, he can get Keith there, right? So he was saying to me about if Connor Hellebuck is going to be getting, you know, 30 to 40 shots against him all the time, the guy's going to need a break eventually. So yes, he does need a break. He does, and he's, I don't want to say entitled, but all goalies get tired. You know, they carry a huge load with them. There's a lot of pressure with them that comes with being a goalie in the NHL, let alone any level. So yeah, why not put Laurent Brossoit into the net, let him get a couple games in, because you, not saying that you hope you don't need him, but he's going to need to be there. He's going to need to be ready. And he's going to need to get some experience like that a little bit more, especially with things coming down so tightly at the end of the season now here, Mark, right? Everyone's really trying to put some pressure on all their opponents. And with the Jets' record, you know, really diminishing the positivity of it, because the more and more I see this 19 get closer to 27, that's just more and more I see a first-round playoff exit for the Winnipeg Jets.
Honestly, I don't know. I think Hellebuck has had a lot of pressure on him, as you mentioned. But I think the Jets haven't been playing their best hockey, and I think they got exposed when Connor Hellebuck had a bad day. I think they got absolutely exposed, because if Connor Hellebuck has a bad day, the Jets don't win. End of sentence. That's just how it
That's
is.
That's true.
So he has stolen games from teams that definitely deserved to beat the Jets. But the Jets do have to play better hockey in front of the guy. They just do. And Paul Stastny, after the last game, you know, he was quoted as saying, "We hung Helly out to dry." And he also acknowledged that it wasn't the first time, or the, you know, they do it a lot. And they rely on him to win games, and you can't do that, especially going into the playoffs. Right? If the only thing you got going for you was a hot goalie, I mean, when was the last time a hot goalie was the only reason a team won the Stanley Cup? You got to go back to what, 1993, when Patrick Waugh did it for the Montreal Canadiens?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, hot goalies by themselves do not win championships. You have to have a team in front of you.
Exactly, and that's true. And like, no disrespect to the management team that carried the that built the Detroit Red Wings, but you got to look at all those players that they had in front of Mike Vernon and Chris Osgood, right? Like, you had guys like Sergei Fedorov, Pavel Datsyuk, Steve Yzerman. You know, so you had some superstar caliber teams, but you know, the Bowman, he paid for that goaltending. He definitely did. So it's, yeah, you really can't, like, you know, it's good that Paul Stastny said, you know, we hung our goalie out to dry. That's the,
yeah, when they acknowledge it, right? It's like an addict.
You got to credit the guy for acknowledging it. Exactly.
The first step to recovery is admitting you have a problem. And that's like, they're addicts to playing this like offense, no defense game. And honestly, for the most of the year, this worked, because if you have a hot goalie and no defense, you can make that work as long as you're scoring more goals than the other guys. Remember that 11-goal game against the Edmonton Oilers? They outscored the Edmonton Oilers, but they got scored on 5 times, and they walked away with that with smiles on their face. You can't be happy about getting scored on 5 times. That's not okay. You know, and everybody, the fans were all excited about, oh, is this going to be a year where we just have like crazy goals? What kind of a year are we going to have? But that can't be the way that you play hockey going forward. You can't just rely on getting one more than the other guy. You got to actually worry very much about them getting any on you. And so when you get scored on 6 times in a game, that's a wake-up call. And when you turn around and respond the way that the Jets did, I thought that was a positive response, given that they are a weakened lineup. They're two of their more impactful players are out of the lineup at the moment, and they're still trying to sort stuff out on defense, which, with 7 games left in the regular season, maybe there isn't a lot of excuse for still not knowing what's going on with your defense. I think bringing Jamie Benn in raised more question marks than it did provide answers. But, you know, here we are.
Like you said, it's his last kick at the can, and he's not really having a good run right now.
Yeah, and as far as Ehlers is concerned, they did say out for the rest of the season. That was a definitive. Lowry, on the other hand, has been skating with the team, but he's wearing the non-contact jersey. So when is he actually going to be back in the lineup? We got to keep our eyes on that. The crew who's the best at keeping us up to date on that stuff is not NHL Jets PR. Believe it or not, it's the Illegal Curve guys. Those guys are all over the injury report. So head over to illegalcurve.com at some point. Keep refreshing that for injury updates on Lowry, if he's going to play or not. Those guys are on top of that. We're just fans. Those guys can be the pros. We're not interested in the extra work. That's their job. We're here to talk about the what ifs and maybes and sort of have some fun here. So thank you again for
and the shoulda coulda woulda's.
The shoulda coulda woulda's, exactly. But so that's all the injury news for the Jets right now that we have. Looking at the playoff picture, and we're going to talk about the division here. I'm going to bring up that playoff picture. There it is. Right on. So the playoff picture looks like it does. We are sitting in third place right now with a .582 points percentage, which, again, I'm just going to quickly mention that the points percentage does kind of matter. 0.560 is the average points percentage required to make the playoffs. So we are hopeful.
Sorry, say that again. Say that again for me, please. I missed that.
0.560 is the average points percentage required to make the playoffs. The Jets are flirting with that at 0.582. Montreal is below that right now at 0.531. So Montreal sitting in fourth place. They're lucky this is a 7-team division, basically, because that's going to allow them to be under that points percentage and probably still make the playoffs. That said, you'll notice on the screen here, for those that can see it, and if you can't, just head over to NHL.com/standings and look at the divisional standings, because the way it plays out right now, if you go by points percentage, the Vancouver Canucks are actually sitting in fifth place with a .477 points percentage, but they've only played 43 games. So they have 7 games in hand on the Ottawa Senators. They have 5 games in hand on Calgary and 5 games in hand on Montreal as well. So Calgary has a .469 points percentage with 21 wins, 24 losses, and 3 overtime losses. So right now, the way it sort of looks at the bottom of this division is that Calgary, Vancouver, they actually have a chance at overtaking Montreal, especially if Montreal keeps trending the way they're going. 4-6-0 in their last 10, which actually equals Winnipeg's 4-6-0 in our last 10, which is a rough go. The only team with more than 6 wins in this entire division right now in their last 10 is Edmonton. Toronto's 5-3-2. Vancouver 4-5-1, Calgary 5-5-0, and Ottawa 6-4-0 in their last 10. They're actually the second best in the last 10s in this division right now. Crazy to think about. They're on a what? 3-game winning streak? 2 games. 2-game winning streak. Right? So that's good for them. I like the future looks bright in Ottawa. I mentioned that on the last episode. So you know, if you're an Ottawa Senators fan out there, it's a little rough right now, but hang in there. There's help on the way, so to speak. So the other games that happened last night, speaking of Ottawa, they beat Vancouver 6-3 in a very convincing win to put that winning streak all the way up to 2. Good for them. I'm not trying to be sarcastic. I'm actually very happy that they're sort of starting to figure themselves out, because that does spell more competition and a lot more exciting division for next year. So that's kind of fun. Toronto beat Montreal 4-1, which is not good news for Montreal. Toronto riding a 3-game winning streak. Montreal just trying to hang on to that last playoff spot with everything they got. Last night wasn't the best effort, and they end up walking away with a big L. So here's hoping that they can sort themselves out. Vancouver and Calgary pressing, obviously. You know, Calgary, the only Canadian team not in action last night. It's I don't know. Who do you think comes out of this? That fourth spot is just so up for grabs. Montreal, Vancouver, Calgary. It's so crazy. Calgary with 45 points. They're only 6 points behind Montreal. They've got equal number of games played. Do you think they can catch them? I'm going to flip over to you, sir.
Yes, 100%. I think. Yeah, I do.
You do?
I do. I do. It's, look at Ottawa, like, just turning something on a little bit more. You know, it's this, I don't know, anybody can win on any given night. And, you know, with the way that some of these teams are letting things slide, you never know what can happen right now.
Right. Right. Looking at it, I think we've got some very cool opportunity to in Winnipeg here, because we do have a little bit of breathing room, I want to call it, between us and the Montreal Canadiens. In Winnipeg has 57 points, so we're 6 points up on Montreal. They do have a game in hand, but only one. And I really think that after last night's, I mean, they lost the game, but after last night's effort, I really think the Jets are going to come round. So here's hoping that I'm not full of poop and that actually does come to pass. Quickly in the I just think it's funny that Ottawa's not last in the division. I don't know if you caught that when we had the stats on the screen, but they're actually 1 point up on the Vancouver Canucks, who have 7 games in hand on them. But that's kind of where things are right now. That's how well Ottawa's playing, is that they are gaining ground. They're absolutely out of the playoffs. There's no way they catch up, but they're absolutely gaining ground, and I'm very impressed with their play as of late. Next games up on the schedule for the Winnipeg Jets are all one-offs. It's a little road trip here. 3 on the road. We're heading to Montreal on the 30th, which is tomorrow, for one of them. Then Ottawa and then Calgary. They're all one game, one game, one game, and then back home. The schedule obviously getting a little bit discombobulated after Vancouver had to take so much time off. So they're trying to allow Vancouver some time to catch up with games played. So those 7 games in hand that they have on Ottawa will disappear pretty quickly as the end of the season looms. And as far as the league is concerned, there's teams clinching the playoffs like left, right, and center. Toronto being the latest last night and the only one in our division to actually lock up a playoff spot. So right now in the playoffs is Vegas, Carolina, Florida, Tampa Bay, Toronto, Colorado, and Minnesota. They're all the clinched teams. A couple more to come this week, I'm sure. More clinchings on a night-to-night basis. You're going to see more X's and eventually some Y's for people who've locked up first place in the division. So let's have some fun with that and hope that the Jets are trending upwards. So was there anything else that you thought of that needs mentioning, Mr. McKnight? Or anyone in the chat, for that matter?
For myself, no, I think we're pretty good.
Yeah? We're all right? We're going?
Oh, yeah.
All right. I like it. I like the confidence. I like where you're sitting. So, for myself and my co-host, Mr. Keith McKnight, and all of the folks who kindly joined us in the chat and liked the stream as we were going and all that, we would very much like to say thank you very much for being here. We will be back Saturday at 11 o'clock again here live. We will try again to do this, not just the YouTube live, but we'll multi-stream to Facebook and Twitch. So you can follow us on any of those things. Very, very happy. Follow us on all the social medias, of course, because that's very, very helpful. So, yeah, follow us on social medias, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. Like and subscribe. As I mentioned, it really does actually give us more tools to use. It isn't just a click and, you know, we appreciate you. It actually helps us open up a toolbox that we don't have access to at this point. So we really, really enjoy seeing those subscriptions come in and the likes and all that. And your wonderful comments are always welcome as well. You can always have your say a little more officially by calling us 431-800-4555. That is the number for the WPG Sports Line. And you can email the WPG LZ@WPG.ca, and we would love to hear from you. You can always leave comments on the Facebook page, on YouTube. If you're not watching live, if you're listening to the podcast, please go ahead and subscribe to that as well. The audio version of this show, which is a brand new as of last episode. The plan is eventually to go back and archive those older episodes into audio version, but where it's not a high priority given the time sensitive nature of this show. So do like and subscribe to our podcast as well, which we'll eventually have graphics for, but I'm not there yet. So I want to thank you very much. We'll see you next time in the LZ.